Catherine Cruz isn't here today, but she recently took a drive to Oahu's windward side, where rare native Hawaiian plant and endangered birds are thriving. Lisa Martin of Healthy Climate Communities walked her through a reforestation tour of the Hamakua Marsh. It's a project near and dear to her heart. It's literally her backyard.
I grew up in Kailua, and this is right here. It's amazing that we have a wildlife sanctuary with four native endangered species right in the middle of a busy, bustling town. My broader mission is actually about climate change and letting regular folks, community members, take action to fight climate change. And so one arm is reducing their emissions, and the other is protecting forests and planting trees. Not everybody has a place to plant trees, and little kids can't make that decision. So especially for school groups, when I talk to them about these issues, then we all come out together and we plant trees.
And you've got a number of schools taking part to kind of reforest this area.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of schools from Kailua. Some of them are actually walking distance, and they just walk here and have field trips. And then we've had schools from different parts of the island, from town, come out as well.
Now, we're hearing all these birds in the background. And this really is the habitat for a lot of these endangered and threatened birds.
Yeah, this is, a lot of the birds we hear are not necessarily our endangered birds, but the birds that are endangered are the ones, the wetland birds. There's four species. There's the Hawaiian stilt, the i'o, the coot, the alae keokeo, the moorhen, the alae ula, and the duck, the koloa. And actually the koloa here, koloa were extinct on Oahu, and they were brought over in, I think, the 70s and 80s from the Big Island, where they had not gone extinct yet. And they did very well here, but now they are interbreeding with the mallards, and they are becoming a hybrid. Okay. But the other birds are doing great. And then the last native endangered bird we have here is the pueo, the Hawaiian owl. And they don't live in the wetland, but they live up on the hillside. We have one pair that lives up here. And so that's pretty exciting to have this habitat right in the middle of a town.
What is that bird out there?
You're the black with the white. You're looking at the stilt. That's the i'o, which in Hawaiian means one who stands tall because of its long red legs. Yeah, and each bird needs, we're not involved in maintaining the wetland itself. DOFA, DLNR, is doing that, and that's their top priority. So they don't have a lot of extra time and labor to focus on the watershed, and that's where our community group comes in. We're doing the restoration of this watershed, taking out the Halekoa scrub and replacing it with a native forest.
And today you've got a number of Marines that are out here helping as part of community service.
Exactly. So yeah, I'll take any help I can get. And actually, you know, the school groups that come out, especially when they come on and sometimes they come with their families on the weekend, and then we really get a lot of labor. But the in-school field trips, it's service, but it's really token service. You know, they will plant the plants, and it's a feel-good experience that we want them to have. But we're doing all the hard work before, and we have it completely prepped for them so they can do something that's fairly easy. We get second graders out here, right? And so they can do something that's fairly easy and not damage the plants. All the plants come from the DLNR nursery, and someone's been raising them from a seed. So we want to give them a good start. So we do all the work for the little kids, but then I have a lot of different adult groups come out and help.
Right, like the Marines today are weeding.
Yes, exactly. I've had Rotary clubs. I have high school kids groups, different sort of community groups, church groups, you know, and that really allows the kids to have this amazing experience and feel they're planting a forest and helping the aina.
So let's walk along here, and if you can point out some of the endangered plants, maybe success stories.
You know, we didn't focus necessarily on endangered plants primarily. We were doing native plants, which is still good. You want to have a place where native plants can thrive. They are slow growing because they evolved very isolated on this island. They didn't have a lot of competition, so they're not as fast growing as a lot of our invasives. So they need that extra help to get going and to get big enough that they can fight the weeds themselves. But we did have, you know, we have the honor, I guess, I really feel, in the last year of planting a bunch of two different kinds of endangered plants. And one is the Ko'oloa ula, which is a Butylon menziesii. And that was thought to be extinct on Oahu until they found some in an abandoned cane field on the west side when they were building stuff related to H1 about 20 years ago. And that became a public controversy, you know, about saving that plant. What they ended up doing was running the road exactly where they planned it, but they dug it all out and set up a grant to reestablish it in three different sites. One of those sites has now been affected by rail. So this is an additional site where we're trying to establish it here. And we planted, I'm not sure exactly how many plants. We have a plot right here with 17 of them. I've got another 5 over on that side. And then around the bend, we have many more.
Let's walk up there and you can describe maybe to our listeners what this looks like and why it's so important that it's really actually, it seems to be thriving over here, or at least it looks like it.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful plant. It has a very light green, heart-shaped kind of leaf, a little bit silvery, catches the light because it has hairs on it. And it has a beautiful, delicate red flower that kind of droops down like a bell. You know, we just don't know what things are going to be important. Right next to us over here, we have the ma'o, the Hawaiian cotton. And that is not endangered, but that's a rare plant. And the ma'o has very short fibers, so it's actually not good for making cloth. The Hawaiians never used it for cloth. But when the U.S. mainland cotton industry was in trouble due to pests, they did a crossbreed with the ma'o, and that saved the U.S. cotton industry because it became more resistant to those pests. So you just never know, right? You let something go extinct, and in my view, things shouldn't go extinct even just for their own value. But in addition, you never know what human value you might be losing with that.
That's incredible. So it really helped to save the cotton industry?
Absolutely, yeah. And then we are also planting, our other endangered plant is the Mauhau Hele, which is the Hawaii state flower, which I had no idea was endangered until recently. So it's a beautiful hibiscus, has it's yellow with a red center, and seems to be thriving very well here.
It's incredible. I mean, I remember, I think my daughter coming home with a cotton seed. So we have one of these in our backyard. So it's really cool that you've got this history that I didn't know about.
Yeah, it's a thing that, you know, when it's an endangered plant, I think it can be planted anywhere to just save it. And so in people's yards and stuff as well. And a lot of them are actually really attractive plants. So it's something that would be nice to mix in with landscaping.
And this stretch of area that we're walking by, there's a sign here, it says Kailua, 2017.
Yeah, so this plot was planted by Kailua Elementary School last year. And you can see how big, like here are some of our trees are actually now towering over us. So it's really thriving. I do have it. It would grow much faster here than naturally because I have it on drip irrigation for the first year or so. So it's getting water even when it doesn't rain. You know, when it's raining a lot, I turn off the irrigation. But whenever it's dry, it has plenty of water. And, you know, so our plants do grow really quickly. And I cover, we have such a terrible problem with weeds. So I do cover with the black weed mat to keep the weeds down and make it easier for our limited labor to take care and keep the weeds under control.
So it's really nurturing them for the first couple of years to make sure that they get the root system in and they can thrive.
Yeah, they need to establish a shade canopy to keep the weeds down, basically. They need to be big enough. You need to get the trees covering the ground enough that it will keep the weeds down. So it's a labor of love for several years. But this is such an easily accessible area to Kailua Town, which has such a big population, that it's just, you know, a real resource for the community to come and learn about the native plants and see a native forest. And it's really, they all have Native Hawaiian uses. And the kids love to learn about that, what they were used for.
And you've got signs here with the names.
Yep. So that's, it's not really a botanical garden, but it's a place to learn about the plants. And, you know, so for example, this right here, the nayo, has a very oily wood. And the Hawaiians used it for night fishing as torches because it burned. And, you know, so each thing you tell the kids about, you know, they use this one for shark hooks and, you know, this one to make surfboards and... It's,
right,
you know,
you've got a veo veo here and
Milo and Nayo over there. Yep. And then the other thing is, you know, obviously I connect it back to climate change issues and all the, you know, the forest is busy sequestering and storing carbon. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to a place where we are not emitting very much in the future. Hawaii certainly has those goals with electricity first, power, and now transportation. Will always produce some carbon. And so we need to clean up, you know, the leftover carbon that we are still producing. And since we don't have any technology to do that yet, we're going to have to rely on the one that was given to us by nature, and that's trees. Not everybody has a yard, and not everybody has a spot in their yard or parents that want to, but they'll certainly know for themselves that planting a tree is cool and easy. and I'm hoping they grow up loving trees and wanting to protect them. We have a big problem here in Hawaii, and I think a lot of places in the tropics where things grow so well, that people like the idea of a tree, but they don't want one in front of their house, and they don't want the rubbish, and they don't want the droppings, and they don't want it to block their view. And so we need to be more aware of all the benefits that come with trees so that we can tolerate those inconveniences and embrace them as part of, you know, the necessary package deal that comes with having trees.
Now, we're right here down below this ridge where your Marines are up there.
Yeah, and where they're working, actually, just by total coincidence, that area was planted by Mokapu Elementary, which is on base and has been a big supporter of this area. And it's a steep area. We had to get it, we had to build terraces in order to plant that area, which is why we skipped it the 1 year, because it was just too hard. But we came back to it the next year.
Lisa Martin of Healthy Climate Communities, always looking for volunteers. The group sets its community workday schedule for the third Saturday of every month. They meet this weekend from 9 to 11 a.m. For links, check out our webpage at hawaiipublicradio.org.